This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
World of News in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fast 15. So, five Utes escaped from Echo Glen this morning, one of them involved in a murder. And this is part of the mania of putting kids who kill in juvenile facilities. That, I mean, these are not the most secure of facilities. And the fact they were able to steal a car and get away, it's just, it's mind-blowing to me. So the search is on. Also, I'd like to know a description of the suspects. We know a description of the vehicle, the slate blue Ford Fusion 2018. All we know is there was five Utes, 14 to 17 years old. And we don't have a description of the people to keep an eye out for. But we know the car to keep an eye out for. And it was great to talk to Sergeant Tim Meyer with the King County Sheriff's Office. Nicole, you've mended some fences for us. It's very nice. It's excellent.
Oh, I hope. Well, I mean, we were just waiting. It's not really that we had to mend fences. We just had to lift the ban.
I know. Well, and I would say new sheriff Patty Cole Tindall's off to a fantastic start with us. She lets her people talk to us again.
No complaints so far.
Which was prohibited when my name couldn't even be uttered last year. But anyway. But yeah, so we'll keep on top of that story. So the number one story, as far as I'm concerned, in the Pacific Northwest today is one that maybe you haven't heard about yet, but involves two people that I know, two people that I've worked with. It's a media feud. It's one of the best media feuds that I've seen in a long, long time, because for a change, I'm not involved in it, which is just unbelievably rare for me. So last night, Nicole, you forwarded me the Twitter back and forth between our friend, independent journalist Brandi Cruz, and former King 5 weathercaster Jeff Renner. This was just out of nowhere, wasn't it?
Weathercaster. Well, yes, and I didn't know what he was responding to that got her to post his tweet, but it turns out when he saw a tweet that he didn't like of hers, he blocked her and then tweeted about it so she wouldn't see it. So
it's
very interesting.
Yeah, so let me walk people through this. So people, you know, Joe Biden called a White House correspondent, Peter Deuce, he called him a son of a bay. And that made all kinds of news. But since, you know, people on the left have to just defend anybody on the left, everybody started going around Twitter. It, you know, and they do the thing where they write every word with a period after every word. It was a hot mic. Like, it's okay if Joe Biden called the guy a son of a bee, because he was just caught on a hot mic. And then Brandi pointed out, well, so was the Access Hollywood tape when Donald Trump said some, you know, bad things. And that was a hot mic that he didn't know was hot. So Brandi just said, yeah, but you attack Trump for being caught in a hot mic moment and you defend Biden. She didn't use those words, but that was her point. It's that the people who are defending Biden for calling. And by the way, Peter Ducey handled it great. He just wanted to move on. But he called his mother the B word. She doesn't have anything to do with this. But here's the president of the United States who talked about he was going to make things civil and bring us all together. And he's calling some guy's mother the B word because he doesn't like a question that her son asked. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Donald Trump did that sort of thing many times as well. But the double standards, incredible. The people who attack Trump defend Biden. So that was Brandi's point. Somebody said it was a hot mic. Brandi said, yeah, so is the Access Hollywood tape. And so then Jeff Renner, former King 5 weathercaster, and I'll get into the personal stuff in a second. So Jeff Renner on Twitter writes, this is another...
Well, I should do it in Jeff Winter's voice. This is another sad example of the downside. Is there an upside of access granted to relatively green influencers with many opinions but limited experience or wisdom? I'm not certain how this was added to my Twitter feed, but I'm eliminating the link.
What a nasty, condescending thing for Jeff Renner. So he's calling Brandi Cruz a relatively green influencer. Hey, Jeff, you and I worked together for about 10 years at King 5. And Jeff and I got along great. But it was very superficial relationship. You know, I'd see him, I'd say hi. And vice versa. Very superficial. Even though our offices were next to each other for those 10 years. But, Jeff, you and I worked with the exact same reporters for 10 years at King 5. And some of them were terrific. Some of them were not so good. But Brandi Cruz is by far the best reporter I've ever worked with in any medium. The most dogged, the most hustling, and just the best in every way. So for you, in your retirement, to go on Twitter and say there's another sad example of the downside of access granted to relatively green influencers, what a sexist old man thing to say, to call a 31-year-old, is Brandi 31, Nicole? Is that right? I'm not supposed to give a woman's age, actually, am I?
Hey, something like that.
It's in that neighborhood, in that ballpark. She's been doing this. She started at Cairo when she was 22, and within a month, I knew she was the best reporter I'd ever worked with, because I'd come into the station at 8:30 at night and see Brandi laying on a floor with a printout of hundreds of pages and a highlighter working on a story that we were partnering on that got all kinds of national awards, by the way. Worked harder than anybody I've ever seen. And for Jeff Renner, simply because Brandi Cruz points out the hypocrisy of defending one hot mic moment and attacking another, and for him to call her a relatively green influencer with many opinions but limited experience or wisdom, here's what I can guarantee you. There are a lot of people whose entire life is wrapped up in being on the air. It's magical to be on the air. I worked with a guy who was a legend in Seattle radio. And when I first started out on a morning show, I worked with this guy. And when he lost his radio job, he was in his mid-60s. He took his own life because he apparently, the idea of not being on the radio was just so heartbreakingly devastating. And it's very sad. And then there are people who retire and they become Twitter trolls. And what a sad thing to be. Here's what I guarantee you. When I retire, when I'm done, that's the last you're going to hear from me. I'm not going to be on social media. I'm not going to be sniping at people who are still doing the job that I wish I could still do if I hadn't been, you know, put out to pasture. I'm not going to do that. When I'm done, I'm done. Johnny Carson, he retired. Then he went on his boat and he was done. He didn't do guest appearances. Letterman's still a producer of a bunch of stuff, but Letterman was pretty much the same way. Once he was done, he hardly does anything. You know, he's got that Netflix show now. But he's got some. So anyway, so Jeff Renner, King 5 weathercaster, he writes and says Nicole's a relatively green influencer with many opinions. What did I say?
It's not me. You said Nicole's a relatively green.
Look at Brandi Cruz, I'm sorry. With relatively green influencers with many opinions but limited experience or wisdom. So then Brandi writes back, "Dear meteorologist Jeff Renner, I've been a journalist for 15 years, a decade in Seattle. I've covered riots, deadly disasters, and presidential campaigns. I escaped poverty. I hosted my own show at 27, earned 9 Murrows, and worked my ass off. Take your sexism and shove it." Woo! It's on! When's Brandi coming on? Is she coming on tomorrow with us? Is it Thursdays?
Yes, yeah. She'll come on tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
It just seems really I don't know why you'd pick that battle. It's very strange.
Well, it's... What Jeff Renner's tweet says, it tells us everything about him, and it says absolutely nothing about Brandy, because everything in it that he said about Brandy was total nonsense.
And but to what block it tells us her about so she didn't see it. That's really, there's something wrong there.
You told me about that. So then he blocked her so she couldn't even see it, so somebody else had to send it to Brandy.
Right.
To tell her that this guy.
So you're not. You don't want to have to respond to her. It's kind of like that, you know, would you say something to somebody's face that you say on social media? In this case, he didn't even want her to see his take on her. He blocked her before that. That's that.
Right.
I don't know.
So that's why I say this tells us nothing about Brandy, because everything he said about Brandy was just 180 degrees from reality. And right. It tells us everything about him. What he wanted was he wanted to give a hot take so that he could virtue signal to his fellow retired Seattle media crowd. And by the way, everybody who's retired Seattle media is like this. I've seen
don't make that.
No, the retired Seattle media, not everyone. There are some cool ones. You're right. That's too broad. But I've seen some retired newscasters who are, you know, main anchors. I'm not going to name any names. Who tried to come off as nonpartisan in their decades on the air. And then when they're in retirement, all of a sudden there's no restrictor plates anymore. And now they can just let loose what we could all see when they were on the air. And that is that they just are very, very biased. And they weren't objective news anchors. Some of them. Some have been very cool. There are some who have retired and you barely hear from. But I know the crowd that runs with this sort of mentality. Of I'm still desperate to give a hot take, and I've got to show my crowd that I can put down an accomplished young journalist and just spew all kinds of lies about her. So, anyway, shame on Jeff Renner. Shame on him for what he said. And by the way, the response was spectacular. I mean, just everybody pointed out, and in fact, people who follow Jeff Renner on Twitter and presumably like him a lot, and they said that. And they said, man, we like you, or we used to like you, but this is outrageous what you're doing here. And it is. It was absolutely ridiculous. But I know a little bit about saying stuff on Twitter that people go off on. Okay. Next up. You know why I'm so excited about this, Nicole? Because I'm not involved.
I think that is it. And it's a chance, you know, when you maybe did say something on Twitter, Brandy came to your defense, and it's an opportunity to defend your friend who deserves a great defense. That's
true. True. But I'm not defending Brandy because she came to my defense on Twitter. No,
right? No. But I mean, it's an opportunity.
And I know you know this to be true in both directions. I am undyingly loyal to my friends until somebody crosses me. And if somebody gives me a reason not to trust them, and I've had many of those over the years, then I'm done with them. And I don't know if I'm happy with that part of my being, because this is a tough biz to survive in, especially when you're somebody like me who for my entire career, there have been, you know, people in the public to, you know, like the attorney general of the state who tried to get me fired. And when you have people sniping at you all the time, you know, you have to be real careful about, you know, the battles you choose and the people you embrace. And the people that are my friends and who have proven themselves to be friends, and I've tried to prove, you know, my friendship to them, I will do anything for those people. And Brandy Cruz is one of those people. But when somebody crosses one of my friends, yeah, I'm going to defend my friends. I'm going to speak up about
She's earned it.
Mm-hmm. She's earned it. And yeah. So I think that's why I'm so passionate about this. Plus, I'm not involved. Okay. Oh, shoot. I don't have time to do justice to this next topic. Oh, I will do justice to this one. So you want more of the vax insanity. So on an elevator, two women who were all masked up, they got on an elevator, and there was already a man on the elevator. He was a young black man, and he wasn't wearing a mask. And, oh, the two masked white women, they just went berserk.
Get out.
Get out.
Yo,
get
stop.
Out. Get out.
What are you guys doing?
Get out. Get out.
What are you guys doing?
What's wrong with
get
you?
Out.
Don't touch me.
Don't you have
to. Don't touch me.
Get out.
Don't touch me.
Get out. I'm not touching you.
Don't touch
oh, did you just hit me? Did you just hit me?
You just hit me.
Yes, you did.
You too.
Black Lives Matter.
Yo, this is racist. Wow.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter.
Yo, stop. Stop recording. I don't know you. Yo, you need to stop.
Get out.
No, I'm not getting out. I was
yes,
here
you
first.
Are.
Women look like they're about 60 years old. They're wearing masks, and they freak out because the guy's not wearing a mask. It's a cult. It is like a cult. And you know what it also reminded me of? Some of my favorite audio of all time. Do you remember this? Early in the pandemic, early in the mask mandate, when a woman just freaked out on the same subject about masks in an elevator.
My girl here wants me to come out of the elevator so she can come out of the elevator.
Because it's a small space we're supposed to maintain social distancing. I don't understand why you can't just politely step out to allow me out of the elevator. When I asked you nicely, well, you have been wearing your mask.
You didn't ask me nicely. You said get out the elevator.
I said that after you
refused
to get out. You have a giant
ball. By the way, let me point out, the woman she's attacking and screaming about is wearing a mask, but she wanted her to get off the elevator because she thought that you couldn't have more than one person on an elevator, even if they're both masked, because it'd be too dangerous. That's what the cult has done.
No.
You have a giant ball.
My girl.
Oh, look at you.
My girl, hold on, my girl, you want to stand in the elevator with me and catch it? Like, you're not making sense, honey. You might as well get off at your floor.
I'm trying to get off at my floor. I can't come close to you. Do you want to understand that I have an extremely compromised immune system? You are a delivery person incorrectly wearing the mask inside of a big building.
Is this incorrectly worn, guys? Is this incorrectly worn?
That wasn't like that the whole
Yeah, the Branch Covidians, their mental health isn't suffering at all. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, Brock Heward, his weekly visit. Another one of the friends that I'm undyingly loyal to. Next on the Dory Monson Show.
Here's Dory Monson with Brock Heward, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy.
All right, it is Wednesday afternoon. That's when we love to visit with our buddy Brock Heward, who joins us. Got some new intro music for you there. Your choice. Why'd you pick Gavin
McGraw? Yeah,
brother.
If you need to breeze, brother, there. That was the original Above and Beyond podcast music.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and originally we thought, well, we could just play it, nobody would notice. And then all of a sudden, I think Matt Hasselbeck's podcast that was the first one. And I remember talking to our then podcast director, and he said, hey, listen, don't get your hopes up. The podcast world's a little different. Okay, it's not like your radio show where you got, you know, tens of thousands of listeners to download. You say, if we can get 500 downloads, we'll be happy. And I remember this so vividly. I was driving with my family down to Arizona spring break. We released it and I was checking. Someone sent me like, wow, your podcast is like number 5 on Apple Podcasts. Yes. And I think we had like 30,000 downloads of that. And all of a sudden it's like, well, I think we're going to have to find a new song that doesn't have an artist that isn't trademarked, because they may get a little upset with that. So, yeah, we found a different set of music with it. But that was that was original for Above and Beyond.
Okay, that's good to know. I like the lyrics. Ramblers in the wilderness, We can't find what we need. We get a little restless from the searching, get a little worn down in between. That seems like a lot of the stuff we've been talking about the last couple of years.
Yeah, it seems like the last 24 months when the pandemic hit. Yeah,
that's pretty. Ramblers in the... By the yes. way, I've seen Gavin DeGraw perform that song live in concert.
Have you really?
Yeah, when Billy Joel came to Safeco Field a few years ago, I got the greatest seats I've ever had for a concert, and Gavin DeGraw was the opening act. And I don't want to, I hate to tell you this, he was drunk as could be when he was performing.
So, you're all in your music feelings, huh? You told me you got this Chicago, you're on the Ivory Keys. Are you
kind of
in a music mode of life right now?
I'm trying to play the piano a little bit more. I'm trying to sit down and play for a few minutes every day. And I'm horrible, Brock. I can't play songs that are too fast a tempo or that have too many sharps or flats. But I love playing the piano.
Can
if there's
ask
one
a,
thing
okay, can I ask
that
you
I mean, wish I could do at the highest yeah, level.
To be play piano?
I think that's it.
Can I ask
besides
you
football, do you have anything? Anything on your list?
Before I answer that, can I ask you something maybe inappropriate?
Sure.
Because you took a shot at me and Moyer on text today amongst our friends.
Come
on. No, you did. You took a shot. Would it help you if you had my fingers to play the piano? Like I have, 10 and a half inch hands.
Yeah. So really I can reach from.
Yes, really
from
long
low
fingers.
C yes. and have more than an octave digital range. Is
right.
that what you're saying?
Like if there was a piano combine, like the NFL combine, where they measure yeah. everything, right? Wingspan, body fat, hand size. You get right. everything, height, weight, right. the NFL combine. You're like a piece of a cattle going through, right? The cattle call.
Right, right.
If you were to look at the great piano players through the decades, through the centuries, right. would they have bigger hands? Is that advantageous to have nimble, long?
It's advantageous, but not necessary. Elton John has short, little, stubby fingers, and so does Billy Joel.
Interesting.
But,
okay.
But yeah, I mean, if I have a chord that goes from the lower C to the E or the F in the next octave, right. I have to kind of roll the chord because my fingers don't stretch that.
Gotcha.
Because I don't know if you've ever noticed this in our long friendship, I'm not the largest man in the world.
No.
So,
no. Uh-uh.
Okay, so I got a bunch of stuff that I need to talk to you about. So
the answer is singing, by the way. If there was something I could do that I can't do, it'd be singing. I wish
I
could
you sing.
I've yeah, you terrible.
You're
terrible.
Like a metal lark. You're the best. Last night they released Hall of Fame voting, and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens didn't make it. So what I'm hearing today is everybody in the sports world is outraged because Barry Bonds, the all-time home run king, Roger Clemens, greatest pitcher of his generation. They both cheated, and I don't have a problem. Cheating that affected the game and their stats. I think Pete Rose should be in because he didn't affect his stats. But I don't know why you would put Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in and not Pete Rose when what they did was far more egregious outcome of the game.
I think people would say were people regularly betting on baseball as Pete Rose did because they were regularly taking steroids in those two decades. In fact, Major League Baseball even turned the other cheek and looked the other way.
Sure.
I don't think Major League Baseball would have turned the other cheek and looked the other way if they had gambling as prolific amongst managers and players as they did their steroid users. And so I think that's where I'm a little bit up in arms. I was telling Titus, Titus, my little guy, loves baseball. That's his first love, I think, of all the sports he plays. And he went around when McGuire and Sosa were doing their thing, went around when Barry Bonds, blew up, and even Roger Clemens. And for me, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds were Hall of Fame players before they took steroids, before you could see the physical change in their bodies. They were at that level and at that talent. And they played in an era where it was pervasive. And I don't know how you pick and choose different players from that era, Dory. I think we had some Seattle Mariners in that era.
You think?
I do. I believe there were a
scrawny little second baseman hits 40-some home runs.
I think it was fairly prolific. I think the powers that be within the league, and that is where it's absolutely cheating. I remember starting the radio show in 2009 on the station and saying, these guys are cheaters. This is wrong. There's a right and a wrong, and they're cheaters. And maybe it's, I don't know, time, getting older. As I look in the rearview mirror at that, I realize everybody had the chance to cheat, and even the league and the owners in the league office looked the other way and celebrated the ratings that came along with that cheating.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think that's where people have a hard time. You pick and choose. David Ortiz was in a book with other guys that were you watched his power numbers grow. You watched you know, his body changed a little bit. Why is David Ortiz in, and why does he get a pass when Barry and Roger Clemens don't?
Yeah, I think it's horrible for baseball, because when I was a kid, you know, it was a big deal when Hank Aaron beat Babe Ruth's record. I don't even know, you know, I knew Babe Ruth had 714. Hank Aaron had 755. I have no idea what Barry Bonds ended up with, because I don't care, because it was all so phony. And I think that that hurts baseball, because the generational historic aspect of it has always been so important. You called me a couple nights ago. You were on a 9.5 hour drive to Montana.
Yes.
To watch your daughter play in Bozeman, right?
Yes.
Bozeman. And then you drove 9.5 hours home the next day?
Yes. 20 hours in a 36-hour span.
And you sounded, you called me, and you see, that's what I would do. I would just call and connect with people that I don't talk to often enough. You called me on your drive. I hate driving. The main reason we got rid of our Chelan area place on the river there that I loved. I hated driving 3 hours and 15 minutes to get to it. And you seem to embrace 9.5 hour drive. So what's different about you and me?
That's a good question.
I would love what I despise.
I would think that you would like it, because for me, there's just freedom, right? There's music. You're connecting with people. Your mind can turn off at times. At times I'll just turn everything off, music off, and just sit and let my mind wander and think and take in the beauty. Like, Dory, I'm pretty sure here, sooner than later, I'm going to be an RV guy.
I might be an RV guy this summer.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you're going to have to, or is Suzanne going to drive?
We'll share.
Okay. Really?
I've never done that, and I hate camping. But Suzanne,
if you hate
really,
camping and you hate driving, why are you going to become an RV guy?
Because there's something about that I do need to be, without stumbling too much. I love the people who live that life.
Yes.
Even though the process of it is not something that I would embrace, I would love to get somewhere and start a fire and just start visiting with strangers, because I think people who embrace that life are the kind of people that I would love.
Yep, totally agree. Totally agree with that. And I have a few friends that have done that and dabbled in it, and they say the exact same thing. You won't find finer people, just the kind of Americana that we love, and just folks that care about other people, look after other people, share stuff, you know. Yeah. Yeah, so there we go. We found common ground. There you thought we were different.
Well, if we're both RV guys this summer, we should rendezvous somewhere.
Ritzville. I'll drive the 15 hours and drive the 4. Sure. There's a good RV. I had an RV for like 5 days. I got to rent one and use one. And yeah, we went up to Whitefish, Montana. Scariest drive of my life. No shoulder. In the middle of winter, 5 degrees with baby Haley in her car seat. Like, whoa.
Right.
First time driving a 40-footer. What am I doing? But survived it. Loved it. And yes, there was a little RV park there in Ritzville we stopped at.
Well, I'll go to Glacier. I'll go to Yellowstone.
Well, baby steps. Let you drive 4 hours. You get to Ritzville. I'll drive 15. And then we'll both go up to Glacier National Park from there.
Okay.
Okay. Book it.
Finally, just a personal question. I was watching basketball last night, and you're a big Fox Sports guy. So, are they putting the audio about a half second in front of the video, or is it Dish Network that does that? Because I hear the announcer call a made basket before I see the ball go in the basket, and starting to drive me crazy.
I think what's happening with some of that, and I think Fox has done this on the college basketball side, is you're talking REMIs, remote broadcasts. Okay. So things, there's just going to be a latency.
Not synced.
Nope. And it's a little problematic.
Would you tell them it's bugging me?
I'm going to see them in a couple weeks at the Super Bowl. Going to go to L.A.
I need this done by tonight.
Okay.
I was going to watch. I'll see what I can do. Tonight.
It's Molly's birthday. Okay, we're going to lunch. Macy's got a game. I don't know if I can do that tonight, but I'll see what I can get done.
All right. Happy birthday, Molly.
Happy birthday, Miss Molly, indeed.
Indeed. All right, that is Brock Heward. You can hear him every morning on a segment on 710 ESPN Seattle, our sister station. All right, buddy boy, have a great birthday lunch with your bride.
Will do. Thank you, Dory. Have a great week, and I'll let those Fox folks know. And then, yeah, we can start talking RV life, too. That'll be fun.
I'm getting more and more fired up by the second.
All right. Hold on.
It's Brock Heward, and we have lots more to come. It's the Dory Monson Show.
And the RVs roll on. Roll on. Roll on.
Nicole, how long were your Christmas decorations up at your house?
Well, I left some of them up until just this week, but that was the ones I deemed winter decorations.
Ah.
The Christmas decorations came down the weekend after.
I just took my tree, my wife and I, we took our tree down last weekend. Is that excessive?
Not two days ago,
okay. A week ago. So 9 days ago. 10 days
It's
ago.
Okay. I'm all about...
It was the 16th. It was January 16th. Even I was getting sick of it. And my wife's ready to go right after New Year's. She's ready to move on. Put up the New Year's stuff. But I'm not like that. I like the Christmas stuff. Anyway, I also like the Christmas specials. Of course, the music you're listening to. The great Vince Guaraldi, the Vince Guaraldi Trio, which did the soundtrack for the Charlie Brown Christmas. Which is the greatest of all the Christmas specials. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is pretty good, but Charlie Brown Christmas is the best. This is a horrible story, actually. The voice of Charlie Brown in those early Peanuts cartoons, Peter Robbins, he took his own life, died by suicide, his family just revealed. And he'd been in the news because he had been involved in crimes over the years, and everybody commented on, you know, Charlie Brown has just, you know, he's in jail. He went to prison for 5 years, and he had bipolar disorder. But it's just another one of those examples of somebody who, as a little kid, got, you know, this incredible notoriety. The voice of Charlie Brown in the greatest Christmas special ever. And then you grow up and life does not keep pace. You wonder why so many child stars are just in horrible, horrible shape as adults. It's because they can never recapture the rush that they got as big stars with everybody catering to them when they were kids. And I'll tell you something. That's why one of the most impressive people I know, blanking on his name, they call Jason Bateman. I was blanking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jason Bateman, I just watched a deal where he was on with Johnny Carson when he was 15 years old. And he, first of all, even though he's almost my age, he hasn't physically changed since he was 15. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's the exact same face. The hair has changed a little bit, but he's been, you know, so successful after
being taking care of himself.
Oh, my goodness. And now he's on, you know, one of the greatest shows ever, Ozark. But he was a big child star. Ron Howard, another one. Opie and Richie Cunningham. And then one of the most successful producer-directors ever. And seems like kind of a well-balanced, normal guy. My wife gave me his book for Christmas. I'm going to start reading it soon. Anyway, Charlie Brown took his own life. His name is Peter Robbins.
What's going on here?
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown!
And then, of course, right before that...
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed.
Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem.
Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest.
Man, he was 8 and 9 years old when he recorded that. He was a good little voice actor. Took his own life. Very sad. Okay, check the news. And then, next hour, I'm going to talk to the woman whose dog was stolen outside a market on Capitol Hill last night. That's coming up on the Dory Monson Show.